Have you ever been so drunk that you can't remember what you did the night before?
Mm-hmm.
Or have you ever said, I'll never have another drink, only to find yourself reaching out for that alcohol again and again and again?
Maybe you know someone who has caused trouble or even become violent, who's lost their job, their home, their health, or their mind, all because of alcohol.
Maybe you've seen marriages and relationships destroyed because of too much drinking. The consequences are huge. So why then do they keep drinking?
Hello, my friend. I'm Carol, and it is good to be together again on Women of Hope. Thank you for having us.
I'm Tammy, and our friend Diane is here with us. Diane has worked a lot with people who have alcohol addictions, but she knows about it in a more personal way. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Tammy.
Did you hear that question? With all of the negative consequences, why do they keep drinking? What would you say, Diane?
Well, there's a short answer. Addiction. I knew addiction well. It was part of my life for many years. Actually, it controlled my life, and I became a slave to it. For most of my childhood, I was sexually abused by my father's best friend. I then spent 20 years addicted to cocaine, marijuana, alcohol, sex, work, whatever else helped me to cope. Anything to keep my mind off the pain and the deep hurt inside me. Those addictions, however, brought even more pain. I had several abortions. I was in and out of destructive relationships. At 34 years of age, although I had a good family and a good job, my life was a mess. I found it hard to function in my family and in my community. I didn't trust anyone. I had this secret that I kept trying to hide from everyone, but the people closest to me knew there was something wrong. Several of my friends talked to me and told me I needed help from a doctor or a counselor, but I didn't believe them. I thought I was fine. I don't need any help, or so I thought. So what would it take to get me out of this vicious cycle of addiction? Diane, explain to us what you mean by a vicious cycle of addiction. I'd like to share with you the way I experienced the addiction cycle. You see, no one ever explained this cycle to me when I was younger. I was never taught very well how to cope with pain. In my family, when there was pain, we were taught to be strong, don't talk about it, and it will soon go away. That works sometimes, but with deep emotional pain and damage, it won't go away until we do something about it. I like to explain my addiction cycle this way. There are 5 steps. If you look at your fingers, we'll use each finger to explain one of the steps. That might help you to remember them. So let's start with your thumb. Let's say your thumb represents pain. For me, when I used alcohol and drugs, I was trying to get rid of the pain that I felt, trying to cover it up. Sometimes it's physical pain, sometimes emotional pain, sometimes a bit of both. It was a bit like hiding your thumb underneath the other four fingers on your hand. If I was drunk or using drugs, then I could pretend the pain wasn't there, like pretending my thumb didn't exist because I couldn't see it. The problem with that is that when I was sober, the pain, like my thumb, was still there and still attached to me. It never went away, no matter how I tried to hide it or deny it. I knew I couldn't stay drunk all the time, but there were those days when facing the pain and being sober were just too hard. Pain is a natural part of living in this damaged world. Christians believe that this pain began because humans decided to turn away from God and live life their own way.
Yes, we still do this, and there is still a lot of pain in the world. I don't need to tell you what pain is. Every human being has felt pain in some form. It can be physical, emotional, mental, and even spiritual pain. You and I know pain hurts, and we try to do everything we can to get rid of it.
Let's move through this addiction cycle using the rest of our fingers so we can remember these steps. The thumb is pain. Now let's move to the next finger and point with your pointing finger. I call this second step the reaching out step. In order to cope with the pain, we look for something or reach out for something to quickly rescue us from that pain. We point away from the pain itself and reach for something to cover it up, some way to ignore it or deny it or divert our attention from it.
Now I'm beginning to understand where this is going. You mean alcohol and drugs.
Yes, but people reach out for many different things when they don't want to face pain. It could be food or sex. They might use achievement or success in work. Or they may exercise constantly to build up a strong body. Others cover up pain by controlling others and the world around them, or by pleasing others. Some of us focus on someone else's pain instead of our own pain. A lot of us cover it up by making sure we look good on the outside, and we try very hard not to think about the pain on the inside. Used in the right way, most of these things are not bad. We need food, exercise, work, and relationships to live a healthy life. Certain drugs can save our lives if they are used under doctor's supervision. Even in the Bible, an older man tells his younger friend to take a little wine for his health problems. However, when we use these things too much, or we feel we have to use them to rescue us from pain, we abuse them. These everyday things then begin to work against us instead of for us.
Okay, so the thumb represents the pain that we try to hide, and the pointer finger represents the things we use to take our attention away from that pain.
Right. Let's move to the middle finger now, the third step. This is what I call temporary relief. Notice the word temporary. It doesn't last. We think the thing that we've reached out to is taking away the pain, making it go away, but that's not the whole truth, is it? Let's say I feel hurt because my father says something horrible about me. I can cope with that pain two ways. I can first pray about it, then speak honestly with him about it, come to an agreement together, and then forgive him. Or I might choose not to think about the pain, not to deal with it, not to talk to him about it, and not to forgive him. And then I might reach out for something to make me feel better for the moment, so I don't have to deal with the confrontation or the pain of what just happened. For a while in my own life, using drugs or alcohol seemed the better choice. I may have felt relief for a little while, but one thing was for sure. If I didn't talk about the problem directly, it would never go away, and that pain would just get bigger and bigger, and therefore I needed more alcohol and more drugs, and the addiction cycle continues.
Friend, I wonder if you have gone through that cycle that Diane is talking about, a cycle that starts with some sort of pain, and then you're reaching out for something close by to take that pain away. And finally, you feel the temporary relief, but it doesn't last long, and you need more to cover up the pain.
Let's move on to the fourth finger, the ring finger. This next step is what I call negative consequences, or the bad results of being addicted. Because the brain is altered by drugs and alcohol, who knows what other effects it might have on that person? What if that person ends up in a fight and hurts someone? What if they walk into a place that's not safe while they're drunk? In their family or their community, how many people might suffer because of their hurtful words or actions? The money that should be saved or spent on food, clothing, or housing is now being wasted to buy more alcohol or drugs. When a person drinks alcohol, the alcohol immediately enters their bloodstream and it begins to affect their physical body in so many ways. Can you think of any effects?
Some of them are easy to see. The drunk person slurs his words. He can't walk straight. He often vomits or has diarrhea, and he gets a bad headache. Sometimes he falls over or becomes sleepy or unconscious.
Or he makes stupid decisions and says stupid and hurtful things, and often he can't remember what happened while he was drunk.
That's right. But if he gets drunk often, the unseen damage becomes worse. For example, large amounts of alcohol are poisonous. His blood pressure gets high, and he might even have a stroke. The heart is damaged, and so is the liver. The brain is damaged, so he'll forget things and get confused. He doesn't think very well. His nerves can be damaged, so he won't feel properly. He doesn't function well sexually. He doesn't eat properly or digest his food, so he may get malnutrition or anemia. It can even lead to cancer of the mouth and throat. People die from the effects of alcohol, but it's very hard to stop using it, because the more you use alcohol, the more you train your brain to need it, and the more your physical body will come to rely on it.
Wow. That's a really bad picture. I'd hate that to happen to me or to someone I love.
And think about the bad things that happen while people are drunk. Accidents and injuries and falls, violence in the street or in the home.
Fights, cruel words, sexual assaults, broken families.
Broken lives for the drinkers and the people around them.
The list of negative consequences or bad results goes on and on. If only someone had told me about all this years ago. I can't find anything good about drinking alcohol now, can you?
And yet so many people continue to suffer.
Finally, we come to the little finger, the last step in this addiction cycle, guilt and shame. When a drinker experiences any of these bad results, they will begin to feel extremely guilty and ashamed. I remember finding it hard to look at myself and see anything good when I was drinking. I lost all confidence in myself and my life appeared hopeless. This guilt and shame added even more emotional pain to the pain that started the cycle in the first place. So I was back to my thumb, back to the beginning, and round it went, each time the pain getting bigger and bigger, and each time I was reaching out for something more and more to get rid of more pain and experiencing more bad results and then adding more shame and guilt. I was stuck in the cycle.
Okay, Diane. I think we want to know, how did you break this vicious cycle?
I can honestly say that without God's help, it would not have happened. This is where you have to start. Admit that you have a problem you cannot defeat. There is a worldwide movement to help alcoholics called Alcoholics Anonymous, or AA. They talk about 12 steps to healing. And many psychologists and counselors agree on this first step. You have to admit that you're powerless. This is absolutely essential to breaking the cycle of addiction. I had to admit that I was living life on my terms and not the way God created me to live, in a healthy, loving relationship with God and with others. And I couldn't change myself, even though I tried. That's what the Bible teaches too. Paul, one of the Bible writers, inspired by God, wrote these words, "I know nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Romans 7:18. Only God can start the healing process. Paul wrote again in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to make you willing and help you to act according to his good purpose." When we come to believe that and ask God to come into our lives and take over, then with his help and with the help of others, we can begin to deal with our pain honestly and directly. Sometimes suffering teaches us to get down on our knees, to cry out to God in our trouble. God promises to hear our cry, and he can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Our loving Father cares for you. He knows the pain that you're going through, and he alone has the power to rescue you. Talk to him about your pain. Let him help you. Our lives are like a big fruit tree, but sometimes that tree may get a disease. Cutting off the bad fruit will not get rid of the disease. It only gets rid of that piece of fruit. You have to get to the roots of the tree and treat them, or you will just keep getting more and more bad fruit. To become the person God created you to be, you must stop being afraid to face your pain. God's word says, God did not give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Sadly, many people would rather stay miserable than be set free. Not many people are willing to deal with the deep pain in their soul. Why? Because it's hard. It might mean we have to forgive someone who hurt us, or confess the truth and break the chains of our secrets. It might mean I have to become totally responsible for my own life, or I may have to change something I would rather not change. But I tell you the truth. Those who dare to face their pain with God's help are the ones who understand and experience what the Bible teaches. I came to know the truth, and the truth has set me free. Those whom the Lord sets free are free indeed. John 8:32-36. Nearly 20 years ago, I was set free from my addictions, and I began to learn how to cope differently with pain. I accepted the invitation from Jesus Christ. He promised to forgive me of all my sin, to heal me, and to set me free from years of abuse and addictions and pain. He is always with me because he promises, "I will never leave you and never forsake you." Hebrews 13:5. Today, I am living a full and useful life, serving others and helping them to come to know Jesus, my healer and my God. I really believe that you too can live a full and useful life. You can live happily and successfully, free from all addiction. I say that because I am now living that way, and I know that it's possible. It's not easy at times, but now I have learned different ways to cope with pain, and it's changed my life. If you are ready to stop drinking, and you are willing to get the help you need, you can recover from drug addiction and alcohol abuse. No matter how bad the addiction or how helpless you feel, don't wait until things get worse. Why don't you start today?
Diane, you said that the first step is to admit to God that you have no power to change yourself. It's not only alcoholics who need to admit that. We all have areas of our lives where we are powerless, and so we all need to come to God humbly and confess our addictions and our sins. The great news is that God is just waiting for us to reach that point. He loves us. And he longs to forgive us and give us a new start. We can ask God to make us strong each day to live good, clean lives.
Now, that doesn't mean that we'll never make mistakes.
No.
But it does mean we have God's power to get up and start again.
Yeah.
Diane, thank you so much for telling us about your life today. I pray that we will all be encouraged to break that cycle of addiction with God's help. There is hope. Would you like to tell us something about your life? You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's TWR Women of Hope at twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.